something relatively general, and that is a shul wants to sell. A shul wants to sell. It's got old Sifrei Torah, Sifrei Torah that are aging, or Sifrei Torah that are not so mehuda, maybe as a result of aging. And the shul wants to sell these Sifrei Torah, maybe to other countries or shuls or kehillas that can't afford to buy brand new, top of the realm, top of the range Sifrei Torah. And they want to pool more money together and upgrade, maybe as they call it, to buy a newer Sifrei Torah, a better Sifrei Torah. Sefer Torah. There's no point in the Sefer Torah just being here in the Aron HaKodesh, not being used. They want to sell it on and be able to use the proceeds and to move on. Or, a simple case that we all take for granted, our own Sforim. You bought an old Rashba when it was the state of the art at the time when it came out, and now the beautiful prints, square letters, yellow pages, footnotes, everything. The only thing we're short of nowadays is the time to learn it. But we have, because you've got a beautiful... So you want to sell off your Rashba for whatever you can get for it and buy a new Rashba. Another situation you might have, a shul wants to refurbish. Is there any question, what do you do with the building waste? What kedusha does a shul have? Or these benches, the shul decided that it wants to get rid of the pews and put in tables. What do you do with the pews? What kedusha do they have? Yeah, what kedusha do they have? What do you do with them? And another question over here is very simple. You sometimes have shuls that are no longer needed. The Yidden have moved out from one area to the other. In the East End, for example, the Yidden moved away. What do you do with the shuls? Can you sell the shuls? And if so, for what use and to whom? What limitations? What do we have? What are the parameters governing these questions? These are serious questions. What do you do with them? I wonder whether any builders ever thought, is they've refurbished a shul and they've taken down parts of a wall, whatever it is. What do they do with the wall? Does it have Kedushas Beis HaKnesses? What happens to it? So there's a Mishnah. I'd like to start you off at the Mishnah. Right at the beginning is a very good place to start. And the Mishnah in the beginning of the fourth perek of Megillah. So the Mishnah says like this, B'nei ho'ir, shemochru rechoiva shel ir, they sold the city square. Once upon a time, when they used to have an en masse tefillah, all the members of the town, the Jewish members of the town together, they used to gather together in the town square because the shuls weren't large enough. So you had maybe many shuls, you couldn't get everybody together. So every so often they used to daven, be'es tzora, they used to daven in the city square. So b'nei ho'ir shemoch ruchay v'sh'ir, they sold the city square, lo'ikhim b'domov beis haknesses. With the money, with the proceeds, you're allowed to buy a shul. Beis haknesses, they sold the shul, lo'ikhim tevo, you can buy an Aron HaKodesh. Machlokes, whether it's Aron HaKodesh or the Bima, but whichever one of the two, you can buy that. Teva, if they sold an Aron HaKodesh or the Bima, loikhim mitpachos, you're allowed to buy with it, you're allowed to buy new mantelach for the Sefer Torah. If they sold the mantelach or the coverings of the Bima, yikhu svarim, you can buy svarim, svarim loikhim Torah. If you sold svarim, you can buy a Sefer Torah, but avli mochru Torah loikhu svarim. You can't oilim, and Rashi says, malim b'kedusha ve'imaridim. So you're allowed to sell to be able to upgrade in kedusha, but you're not allowed to sell in order to downgrade in kedusha. That you're not allowed to do. That's the Mishnah. The Gemara then, in the next Omud, Tachov Zayin Omud Aleph, the Gemara asks, Boiluhu. Question is, mahu limkoi sefer Torah? Exactly this question. Are you allowed to sell sefer Torah, Yoshon, an old Sefer Torah, likach boi chodosh, to buy a new Sefer Torah? This is a question that that was actually relevant to North End and Adas, and I asked one of the Gedolei HaDor about it, and once I looked into it further, I saw it affects a whole lot of different questions, hence the topic. So the Gemara actually asks, are you allowed to sell an old Sefer Torah to buy a new one? Because you're not, says the Gemara. Kivan, what is the question of the Gemara? What's the sophic? Kiven to Loimalele. Since you're not going up in Kedusha, there's nowhere to go to after a Sefer Torah. Therefore, there is, by the way, I'll tell you in a moment. Osa, it's Osa, Odilma, maybe, Kiven to Lekaleluya, Iluya, since you cannot go up in Kedusha. So the Gemara says, therefore, since you can't go up, Liluya, Luya, Achrina, you can't go up to a higher Kedusha, Shapidomi, it's okay. And the Gemara brings proof after proof and knocks it down and says it's not a raya. The Gemara, in the end, is not poshut, remains a boid lifshta. The Gemara does not decide, are you allowed to sell an old Sefer Torah to buy a new one? But the Rif and the Rambam and the Rosh, they all come to the conclusion, since the Gemara does not answer it, therefore you have to be machmir. That's the conclusion of it. Why you have to be machmir that you may not sell an old Sefer Torah. You may not sell an old Sefer Torah in order to buy a new one. But the Gemara has not decided, so it's an Iboidele Ifshita. But that's how the Rif and the Rosh and the Rambam, they come to the conclusion. And therefore, the Mishnah Berurah paskens that way quite clearly. And we'll see Shulchan Aruch paskens quite clearly that way in Yerudea. The two places to find it, in Aruch Chaim and Hilchos Beis HaKnesses, and in Yerudea and Hilchos Sefer Torah. So therefore, that's how the Shulchan Aruch paskens, that you're not allowed to. But according to everybody, everybody will agree that you're not allowed to sell. Remember, the sophic of the Gemara about Sefer Torah was only because you can't go higher up. But if you could go up, for example, selling a shul in order to buy another shul, it's quite clear you mustn't do it. To sell an Oron HaKodesh to be able to buy something else at the same level, you mustn't do it. Quite clear. And that the poskim are absolutely clear about. So if I read out a little bit of Shulchan Aruch for you in Siman Ayin Reish in Yerudea, Simon Ayin Reish in Yerudea, Shulchan Aruch says, Ve'eino Roshoi Lemochroi, you're not allowed to sell a Sefer Torah, Afilu Yesh Lo Harbe Sifrei Torah. You've got plenty of Sifrei Torah, you can't possibly use them all, and you want to sell someone to be able to decorate the shul, to be able to, whatever it is, or even to be able to buy another one. Ve'afilu Limka Yoshon, Kedei Liknois Chodosh Osa. You mustn't do it. Why did I say you can still go up? The Gemara says you can't. But the same Gemara, earlier on, says there are only two reasons that you're allowed to sell a Sefer Torah. Not Pikuach Nefesh. Does anyone know? Two reasons. So the Gemara says you're allowed to, Lilmoy Torah, you're allowed to. So you're allowed to sell a Sefer Torah. Rashi says, Kedelis Paunis Boy. Rashi, incredible. Rashi says, what's the point in having a Sefer Torah here in the Aron HaKodesh? The whole point of the Sefer Torah is, in order that it should go here, not that it should remain there. And therefore, the point is, therefore you're allowed to sell a Sefer Torah in order that we should learn it. That's an incredible conclusion. It means that a person who learns Torah is on a higher level of Kedusha than a Sefer Torah. Incredible. The purpose of the Sefer Torah is in order to learn. So you come this morning and give enough of your time to come and learn. That's a higher level than that of a Sefer Torah. Incredible, quite clearly. That's what Gemara says, V'lisa Isha. But apart from that, you're not allowed to sell a Sefer Torah, even to buy another one. That's what it says. The trouble is that in Aruch Chaim, the Shulchan Aruch says the following. Aruch Chaim Simen Kuf Nun Gimel Sif Dalet. So Shulchan Aruch says, Im Huta Liknois B'Dimei Kedusha Achas, whether it's Muta to sell and or to buy with the proceeds of having sold a particular level of Kedusha, Kedusha Acheres, Keyotzebo, the same level of Kedusha, whichever one it is, a shul for a shul, or a Sefer Torah for a Sefer Torah, or an Oren for an Oren, Yesh Oisrim, V'Yesh Matirim, a seeming glaring stira in Shulchan Aruch. And all the poskim, the Taz, the Mogen Avraham, the Bach, everybody jumps onto this and says, what's going on here? Seems to be a stira in Shulchan Aruch. Aruch Chaim versus Yehudah. If it's so poshut in Yehudah, why in Aruch Chaim does it remain Yesh Oisim, Yesh Matirim? And the Bach gives a teretz, which the Mogen Avraham accepts. The Taz remains Tzolchiyun. But the Taz's own Shver, the Bach, has given a teretz that the Mogen Avraham accepts. And the Bach says, very simply, Aruch Chaim is talking about you've already sold what you shouldn't have sold. So you sold a shul and you shouldn't have sold the shul. You've now got the money in the bank account, and now you're coming to ask the question, oops, excuse me, I didn't know I wasn't allowed to sell a shul. I've now sold the shul. Am I allowed to buy another shul, or do I have to use the money to buy a higher kedusha? Do I have to keep going up malim b'kedusha after I've sold it or not? That, yesh oisrim, v'yesh matirim. About that, there are two opinions. Fascinating. But in the first place, everyone agrees, you're not allowed to sell a shul to buy another shul. Says the Taz, but this isn't the case, this isn't what goes on. So the Taz says, there in Simon Kuf Nun Gimel, let me just try and find it. The Taz says, Umaisa, there was a story, and that is the Taz in Sifkot Simon. It's actually the Taz is in Simon Kuf Nun Beis, Sifkot and Beis, who says, Umaisa Be'er Echod, there was a story in one town, Shohoyu Ayahudim Dorim Chutz Lechoyma. The Yidden used to live outside of the wall of the town, so outside of the old city, and they spread out to the newest suburbs. He says, Ve'ira ho'inyan sh'nis yashvu b'secha choymo, and they moved, the whole kehillah moved inwards. Now the question was, V'hoysa b'isa k'neses levad, the shul was on its own. Chutz l'choymo, outside of the city. There was nobody to use it, because nobody lived there anymore. V'omarti, so, by the way, so the Taz says, I said, Ein l'cho t'yua g'doylo mizeh. It's like this. You're not allowed to dismantle a shul. You're not allowed to destroy a shul. That's an explicit Gemara here as well, the beginning of fourth perek. Shulchan Aruch brings it in Siman Kuf Nun Beis Sif Aleph. Ein soisrim beis haknesses. You're not allowed to dismantle a shul. Kedei liv nois beis haknesses acher, to buy another shul, to build another shul. So the Taz says, why aren't you allowed to dismantle a shul? Because in Devarim, in Parshas Re'eh, I think, so there, it says all about the Avodah Zorah. It says, Abe Tabdun is called Mekomis Asher Ovdusha Magoim, etc. And you're supposed to destroy all the Mekomis of Avodah Zorah. And then the boss says, Leisalsun Kein Hashem Elokeichem. That's where we learn the Issa of Mechikas Hashem. We also learn the Issa that you mustn't destroy Mekomis of Kedusha. Says the Taz, you've got no greater degradation of this Mokom HaKedusha than to leave it standing and derelict, and for anyone to be mevazel, be mezalzel, this Mokom Kedusha. Therefore the Taz says that in such a case, Eincha Tiua G'dolu Mizeh, V'Hitarti, I allowed Listoir Oysa to demolish the shul that was no longer being used, K'dei Livnoisa Toich HaChoyma. They actually moved. Once upon a time, they used to reuse the bricks and the stones. They actually took the materials and they built the new shul, he says. V'tchilo yivnu beis haknesses hachadosha. In fact, he made them first build the new shul. V'yitlu achakach ha'avonim min hayashono. V'yivnu toich hatchum, he says, mehem. So in the first place, you've got to build a new shul. You can't leave. You mustn't leave. There's another din. You mustn't leave a tzibur without a shul. You mustn't leave a tzibur without a sefer Torah. And therefore, you've got to build the new one first. In fact, the Gemara asks, can you then, why are we worried? We're worried that you'll demolish the old shul, and then you'll have a committee building the new shul. Enough said. Yes? It won't get built. So therefore, it'll happen that you'll have a situation that the shul won't get built. So the Gemara, in fact, says, are you allowed to literally take the stones and take them out of the old building, take the beams out of the old building, and put them in the new building? So the Gemara says, the Gemara in the end, the maskoma is, as long as you transport them straight away from one to the other, and you've got somewhere else to daven in the meantime, because whilst you're demolishing, you've got nowhere, you haven't built the new one yet and you're demolishing the old one, as long as those two conditions are there, the Gemara says it's okay. So therefore, the Taz says, for example, if you have situations where shuls are left in the East End or wherever it is, where they're no longer any hidden, so therefore the heter to sell a shul is, because there's no greater bizoyin for a shul than to leave a shul unused. But otherwise, that's it. That's the only heter he has for it. But if it's not the case, but for example, what you want to do is that you want to be able to build a larger shul, so therefore the Taz hasn't told us that there's any heter whatsoever. And the question is, what do you do? Similarly, you want to sell an old Sefer Torah to buy a new Sefer Torah. It seems that you're not allowed to do it. However, there's another Gemara in the same place, and the Gemara says, Omar Rava. Rava says this is in Daf Kosh Vavam and Aleph near the bottom. Omar Rava, Lo Yishanu Elo Shelo Mochru Shiva Tuvei Ho'ir. When is it true that you mustn't sell that Malim Bekedusha Ve'im Meridim? Only if it isn't being done according to the seven, should we call them counselors, the seven people who've been elected to make decisions as to what to do with public property. But, he says, if Avomochu Shiva Tuvei Ho'ir, if the seven Tuvei Ho'ir, the seven counselors, elected counselors to make decisions as to the as to our public affairs, they B'mamod Anshe Ho'ir. Interesting, literally it means in front of everybody else. And the Mefarshim asks, in front of everybody else, what do you need them for? If we need everybody's acceptance. So the Mefarshim explain, B'mamod Anshe Ho'ir means with absolute transparency. It means that we know what they're doing, and that if there were any complaints, those complaints would be able to be registered and their decision would be able to be stopped. If they make such a decision, then a shul can be sold. A shul can be sold, and, but the question is, so what if you sell a shul, but the shul's still got kedusha? What happens to the kedusha of a shul? That's what we need to address. If you sell a shul, wherever it is, but it's still a shul. The building remains a shul. So you've had a heter to sell a shul, because the Shiva Tuvei Ho'ir, says Rava, can override the din of the Mishnah, but Malim Pekedusha Vein Meridin. But very nice, but what about the Kedusha of a shul? Serious question, which is dealt with by the Rishonim, the Ramban, the Ran, the Rambam, and the Meiri. And they all take different views to this. The Ramban says something fascinating. The Ramban says, what's the Kedusha of a shul? What Kedusha does it have? A Sefer Torah, you write the Torah on it. A mezuzah, etc., these things. What Kedusha does a shul have? It's a building. It's a building. So you daven in the shul. So the Ramban says, do you know what a shul is? It's tashmish mitzvah. He says, and the Ramban is brought in the Ran over here. So it's a tashmish mitzvah. It's like a lulav, he says, and an esrog. And he says that once during the time when you're doing, performing the mitzvah, and tzitzis, for example, when the time that you're doing the mitzvah, it doesn't have intrinsic kedusha, but you mustn't treat it in a way of bizoyan, because that's a bizoyan for the mitzvah. So as we know, we mustn't tread on the arovas, on the hishanas, you mustn't, etc. We don't throw the esrog in the bin, etc., etc. But, says the Ramban, once Sukkot has passed, once the mitzvah is over, so then, an esrog, we can eat it as jam. You could use the adasim to smell them, which you're not allowed to do on Sukkot. We use it afterwards for the somim. You can use the lulav, if you want to remove the cobwebs. There's no reason why you shouldn't use it, because once the time of the mitzvah has elapsed, so the din of tashmisha kedusha, that is taken away, only that you mustn't use it for a tashmish shel bizoyin. That's the only limitation. So says the Ramban, excellent. The Zayin Tuvei Ho'ir, they have the ability to decide that this shul is no longer needed for the mitzvah of davening. Once they decide that it's no longer, say it's like the end of Sukkos, says Ramban, beautiful. And therefore the Ramban says, that's their koyach. I don't have that koyach. Each individual doesn't have that koyach, but the Zayin Tuvei Ho'ir make decisions about the tzibur. They can decide that that's it. It's not needed anymore because, for whatever reason, we're going to build a larger shul, we're going to move to another neighborhood. Whatever reason it is, that they are able to take away whatever kedusha it had. It's purely tashmish kedusha. We daven in it. The shul doesn't have. He calls it tashmish mitzvah. We'll see. It has to be tashmish. We'll see in a moment. You'll see in a moment. It's not quite so clear what goes on. You'll see in a minute when you see the run later. And therefore, it has. That's what the Ramban says. Yes, he compares it to things which are of a tashmish mitzvah nature. That's what he compares it to. The Ran says, I don't agree. And the Ran says, midrabbonon. the Chachomim have given a shul the din of Kedusha, have given it intrinsic Kedusha, because it's a place, it's not just something that you do a mitzvah with, it's a place that we use as the Beis Hashem. Since it's the Beis Hashem, so therefore, it's got Kedusha. In that respect, it's the Beis Hashem. And therefore he says, Midrabbonon, not Minato, Midrabbonon, but, so therefore he says, the Zayin Tuvei Ho'il are allowed to sell the shul. Still, doesn't disagree with the Gemara, you sell the shul, says the Ram, the Kedusha is redeemed. You're paid the Kedusha from the shul onto the money, onto the mois. Says the Ram, okay, how does that help? The money remains Kodesh. Says the Ram, no. That's only if the Zayin Tuvei Ho'il decide that it should be used for a Kodesh purpose. Let me just tell you, by the way, the Gemara says, if the Zayin Tuvei Ho'il, not only are they allowed to sell the shul, says the Gemara, afilu lemishtabei shichro, shapedomi, you could even use the proceeds of the shul to buy yourself some beer. You could use it, the Kedusha evaporates. So the Ramban says it evaporates because the time of Kedusha has elapsed, the time of the mitzvah has elapsed. The Ram says, where does the Kedusha go? It goes into the money. But where from there does the money go to? Why are you allowed to buy even, my folks in Rashi and Tosva, that means to buy some beer, is Tosva's. Rashi says, you buy the hops and the barley to buy the beer. Why are the machlokes between them for another time? But, they said, everyone agrees, you can use it for complete chulin purposes. So the Ran explains and says that once it's the Kedusha has been diluted, because it's been transferred, it's not in its original form of Kedusha, the Zayin Tuvei Ho'il, the Rabbonon, gave the Zayin Tuvei Ho'il the ability to be able to sell, to be able to use the money, even for Divrei Cholin. The last opinion is the opinion of the Rambam and the Meiri, and you'll see why it's important to mention this. They say, no, a shul has a din of Kedusha min ha-Torah. So, how does the Rambam and Meiri explain the Gemara? Why does Rava say the Zayin Tuvei Ho'il can do so? So they say that the Kedusha given to the shul was always adaita dehochi, was always on that clear understanding that if or when the time would arise that the Zayin Tuvei Ho'il, that the Tzibur would decide that they no longer need this place, so then the Kedusha was put onto this shul, was put onto it conditionally, that it wouldn't be there forever, it would only be there for some time. So much so that the Tur Paskins, the Rambam, and the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, the Rambam, in Simon Reish Pei Beis, that you can use Tashmishei Kedusha, you can use the Mantelach of Sifrei Torah, etc., for Divrei Chulin afterwards. And along comes the Chofetz Chaim in the Mishnah Berurah, and he says, that seems to me to be a kula yaseirusa. He's not happy with this at all, and he wants us to be machme on this, and this is why, in practice, we are. But according to the Rambam and the Meiri, and Shulchan Aruch paskens it, you're allowed to, the Zayin Tuvei Ho'il can even take Kedusha off Tashmishei Kedusha, not off the Sefer Torah, but Tashmishei Kedusha. So it transpires, there's lots more to tell you about, but it transpires. When you come to renovate a shul, and you've got left, you took down a wall, and maybe you replaced it, but you've got the old bricks and plaster and whatever you have, in that case there, so using the Zayin Tuvei Ho'il, according to the Ramban, certainly it's no longer needed for the mitzvah, so therefore, you put it, there's no problem, it can go with builder's waste, not a bizayin, but it goes with builder's waste. According to the Ran, you would have to sell it, you'd have to be paid for it, in order, and then do something with the money, because you need to take the Kedusha off the bricks, literally, according to the Ran. According to the Rambam and the Meiri, it's easier, interestingly enough, ironically, that it'll be, according to the Zayin Tuvei Ho'il, the Kedusha on these bricks and plaster was only as long as it would be used. How do we pass them? So the Bi'alocha, the Chofetz Chaim in Simon, Nun Gimel, he says that there's an indication, he's not 100% sure of his ground, but he says there's an indication we pass them like the Ramban. He goes along with the Ramban, that you can certainly, once the time of the mitzvah has elapsed, using the Zayin Tuvei Ho'il, they could make a decision, but that decision needs to be made to buy them, to demolish this wall and to use it, then you would be allowed to do so. However, when it comes to, that's far as demolishing a shul, when it comes to selling a Sefer Torah, to buy another Sefer Torah, as long as the Sefer Torah is kosher, there's no heter to sell an old Sefer Torah to be able to buy a new one. If it's no longer kosher, there's an explicit din, Simon Kuf Nun Dalad, Sif Dalad, I think, that it says explicitly that if a shul is, if a Sefer Torah is possible, it goes down to the level of Sforim. So then you can sell a possible Sefer Torah as it is. You mustn't make it possible for the purpose, but you can, of course, because you can, if it's possible, before you rectify it, you can sell it on, and then you can buy a new Sefer Torah with the proceeds. That you would be allowed to do. But to sell a Sefer Torah without that, you wouldn't be allowed to. If you want to sell your old Rashba and your old Shas, and you've got a newer Shas you want to sell it on, that, the Taz says, that he says quite clearly, he says, and the Mishnah Berurah in fact brings it, Kosovar Taz, this Mishnah Berurah is, and Siman Kufnon Gimel, Sif Kotten, Yud Aleph, he says, Kosovar Taz bezmanenu onoroim harbe moichrim sforim, veloichim acherim b'demehem, how can that be? Nira de'achshov mitchila kashakoine ha-sefer, hoyodaita lekach, shiyiye loy, kol zman shizorich loy, as long as you'll use it, uboy, he says, Yizdamin lo yoyse yofe, yishub yubi'im. If a new Sefer Torah will be, a new Sefer, which is better, will be available to him, yim koizeh vikacha yofe, he says, v'afshle hisna beferush, although you didn't make that condition when you bought it, because you didn't think of it, nonetheless, he says, beizdin, leiv beizdin, masne olov, as if you had made that condition, and it works. This will finish off. The last bit is, this actually explains a fascinating question. Why is a Sefer allowed to write a Sefer Torah and sell it? It's explicit in the Gemara, you write a Sefer Torah, you're not allowed to sell a Sefer Torah. Explicit. You're not, even if you've got many Sefer Torah, you're not allowed to. How can Moichrei Sforim, how can they sell Sforim? They bought the Sforim. So it's quite clear, if you buy a Sefer in order to sell it, so of course, that was the condition. For that, the Issa doesn't apply. By the way, with the Sefer, there might be another Hefzer as well, a little bit, and that is before you sell it, and it's not yet finished. So if it's not yet finished, but it still maybe has the Kedusha of Chumashim, and that would also be a problem as for him to sell it, but the answer is, and that's explicit in Rabbeinu Monoyach, for those who buy Sforim, or who write Sforim, in order to sell them, for that, the Issa to sell it doesn't apply. Why should there be an Issa to sell? Because it shows a bizoyan, a zilzul for Sefer Torah. Even though you want to buy another one. But the fact that you can trade Divrei Kedusha like that, there's a problem to sell it unless the reason for selling it is Malim B'Kedusha to go up, which is virtually impossible when it comes to Sefer Torah. Little bit of an idea, there's lots more, but just in the end of half an hour.